It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we are continuing our series on the seven churches of Revelation. These seven churches found in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. We are learning that these were seven real churches, seven literal churches located in the Bible days in ancient Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. These were seven literal churches with seven different experiences. These were also seven literal churches which typify every different Christian there is today. There is also every different Christian with every different experience in their Christian walk, and this is symbolically shown in these seven different churches. For instance, in chapter 2, we had the church of Ephesus, the backslidden church, the church that left its first love. Just like we have the backslidden Christian, the Christian that leaves its first love. We also had the church of Smyrna. This was the poor and faithful church that suffers. Just like we have the poor and faithful Christian that suffers. And we had the church of Pergamos. This was the church that was married to the world. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. Just like we have the worldly Christian. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. And we had the church of Thyatira. This was a church that was too busy with the wrong motive. And sin began to creep into the church, and it had tolerance and a great falling away. We also have Christians that are too busy with the wrong motive, and sin creeps into their life, tolerance creeps in, and they have a great falling away. We also had the church of Sardis, chapter 3. This was the dead church, or the frozen chosen. And we have the Christian that's spiritually dead, alive on the outside, dead on the inside. Then we have the church of Philadelphia. This is a church with the open door, the church with great outreach, the missionary church, the church that supports the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the Christian that is good with outreach, the Christian with the open door, the Christian that supports the furtherance of Bibles and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the missionary Christian or the outreach Christian. And finally, we had the church of Laodicea. This was the lukewarm church, the comfortable church, the blasé church, the indifferent church, the church that was te sera sera. And we have the Christian that's lukewarm, the Christian that's blasé, comfortable, and indifferent, te sera sera. And today, from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 13 down to verse number 17. The church of Pergamos. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I also hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This is the church of Pergamos. This is a church that is the mixed church. This is a church that's married to the world. This is the worldly church. And just like today, we have the worldly Christian. Christians who can have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And as we will see today, this type of relationship that the individual has will not get them into the kingdom of God. Verse number 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write. Remember that this word angel is messenger. This is not a spiritual angel over the church of Pergamos. This is the human messenger in the church of Pergamos, or the local pastor. Jesus Christ speaking for himself in the first person personal. If you have a red letter version in your Bible, you will see that Jesus Christ speaking, giving this letter to the angel or the local messenger in the church of Pergamos to read before the local church. The angel of the church here in all seven churches is the local pastor, the human messenger of the church. It says here, these things saith he which have a sharp sword with two edges. This is Jesus Christ identifying himself as he does in all seven churches in biblical language. Chapter 1 and verse number 16 tells us who this is. It says here, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The Bible says in chapter 1 verse 16 of Revelation, this symbology to the sharp two-edged sword speaks to Jesus Christ speaking in the first person, identifying himself in biblical language. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ identifying himself before every church in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. This speaks to Jesus Christ ensuring the church that it is he that is speaking with all authority and not the local pastor speaking his own words, but these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he identifies himself in biblical language. Verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Jesus Christ knows our works. He knows our labor of love. And even though individuals may not recognize our labor in the Lord, Jesus Christ recognizes our labor of love. He is not soon to forget our labor of love, for the Bible says the first shall be last, but the last shall be first. It is Jesus Christ who knows that we go to the nursing homes in love. He knows that we give a cup of cold water to the thirsty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that we are clothing the naked and feeding the hungry. He knows that we are helping the Word of God get out to the four corners of the earth. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in all the earth. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. So we as believers understand that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And for those of us who may have strayed away, we must understand that God's eyes are everywhere, speaking of his omnipresence, that he sees what we are doing, and out of love, we should turn from our ways and serve him, for he knows when we go astray, and he knows our works. Back to verse 13, it says here, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. This is speaking of the local authority that Satan has in this particular area, where the seat of Satan's activity has been moved from Babylon in the ancient days to here in Pergamos in these particular days that this particular epistle was written. Also speaks to the church of Pergamos going through tremendous persecution and suffering, for they are in the eye of the storm. They are right there where Satan's seat is, where the authority of Satan goes forth to persecute, to cause suffering, hurt, harm, and shame to those who are God's people. And even though they are in the midst of where Satan's seat is, they are still going forth doing God's will. For it says here, "And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith." Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So here we have the church of Pergamos given commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ that when times got tough, they did not deny his name. They were faithful to the end. And an example was given, Antipas, a martyr. A martyr is someone who dies for the faith. Much like in Acts chapter 7, where we have Stephen being stoned for giving the local Jews a sermon, a 400-year sermon on the history of Israel as they strayed away, and telling them in Old Testament scripture that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Messiah that came. And believing on him, they will have life everlasting. The Jews at that time did not want to receive it and stoned Stephen to death. Acts chapter 7. It's a wonderful thing to be acknowledged as a faithful individual in Christ. Faithful to the end. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. Paul said, "I have kept the faith. I have finished my course." What a wonderful thing it is to rejoice that even though the times got tough and the fire got hot, we stood firm with the Lord Jesus Christ and did not deny his name. The Bible says if you deny him, he will deny us before the angels of God. Verse number 14. "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." What is this doctrine of Balaam? This doctrine of Balaam you'll find in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 through 25. Chapter 31, and also in the book of Jude. Balaam was a prophet of God that backslid and turned away from God. He was hired by a local king to curse the children of Israel. When Balaam found out that he could not curse the children of Israel because they were blessed of God, he put forth his doctrinal plan to cause them to sin, which then would cause God to judge them. And he did this in the book of Numbers by getting the most beautiful of the Moabitess women and put them before the men of the children of Israel to cause them to commit fornication, serve their local gods, serve idols. And then he knew that though he could not curse them, because he put the stumbling block before them of fornication and idolatry, he knew that God would have to judge them if they did not repent. This is the doctrine of Balaam. This is trying to be mixed up in the world, committing fornication and idolatry. A worldly kind of approach that's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Individuals in the church cannot be a part of the world and still call themselves Christians. When we become born again, we lay aside fornication and we become married or celibate singles in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we become Christians, we no longer commit drunkenness and idolatry, but we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. And we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, mind, soul, and strength, because he laid down his life for us and rose from the dead that we might be partakers of everlasting life. Individuals that served the doctrine of Balaam, that were in the church of Pergamos, were trying to be worldly Christians. The Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. Yes, we love the people of the world. Yes, we pray for the people of the world. But we do not love this world system of fornication, this world system of satisfying the flesh at any cost, this world system that says just do it, this world system that puts God on the back burner and satisfies the appetites and the desires of the sinful flesh without serving God in holiness and righteousness. Cursing, fornication, drunkenness, idolatry, loving money more than loving God. All these are worldly traits, the doctrines of Balaam. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus said, either you are for me or you are against me. Jesus Christ also said, no man can serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the riches of this world. This is the church of Pergamos. This is the doctrine of Balaam. They were absorbed into the world through worldly activities. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The Bible says that no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we look to holy matrimony. That's why we abstain from all fornication and court our prospective fiancés and wait to the honeymoon night to then embrace and become intimate. The Bible says we're not our own, but we're bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Revelation. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So this church of Pergamos not only was worldly with the doctrine of Balaam, which was the doctrine of fornication and idolatry to cause believers to stumble, because that was Balaam's goal, to curse the children of Israel, to cause believers to stumble through fornication and idolatry. But the church of Pergamos also had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Who are these Nicolaitans? These may be the precursors of the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, the precursors to the popes that inculcated the church in later centuries. These were individuals that believed in lording over the church. Nicolaitans mean victory over the laity or victory over the people. These were individuals in the hierarchy of the church who believed in being in charge of God's people rather than serving God's people through shepherding or pastoring. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, for the elders not to be lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ gave us the example in parables by saying, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus Christ also said, if you want to be chief, you must be servant of all. These Nicolaitans, rather, wanted to be in charge. They wanted to lord over God's people, oppress God's people. They want to receive all of the monies that came into the local church. They wanted individuals to serve them hand and foot, as if they were better than the people. The Bible says we are all partakers in the body of Christ. the eye is not better than the tongue, the head is not better than the arms, but all of the body parts serve a function. The hand cannot do what the feet do, the nose cannot do what the mouth can do, the eyes cannot do what the nose can do, but all serve a function to keep the body going. And yet the Bible also says that those parts that you don't see are even more comely and more important than the ones you do see. The parts on the inside of the body, liver, the heart, the brain, the spleen, all these things have a function to keep the body going. Therefore, those behind the scenes that you don't see in the local church keep the local church going. Those that are praying in the midnight hour. Those that are going to the nursing homes where nobody else will go. Those that are giving out tracts on the street corner. Those that are witnessing on their job. Those that are praying for their enemies. The wonderful works that we don't see behind the scenes are the ones that are more comely, the Bible says, than the ones that you do see. That's why this doctrine of the Nicolaitans is the doctrine that Jesus Christ hates, because it raises up individuals to be a spotlight in the local church and to lord over God's people rather than serving them and feeding the sheep. The Bible says, I will give you pastors after mine own heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah chapter 3. Be careful of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. This was inculcated in the local church of Pergamos and caused them to be a worldly church. The people in the church of Pergamos were committing the doctrine of Balaam, and the leadership in the church of Pergamos was committing the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Verse number 16. Repent, or else I will come upon thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What does the word repent mean? Repent means to turn around. Repent means to turn from that which causes God to be grieved and turn to that which causes God to be pleased. To turn from hate to love. To turn from unforgiveness to forgiveness. To turn from judgment to mercy. To turn from not having compassion to having compassion. Jesus Christ here says he will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The word of God will come out and be the judge, jury, and executioner of those who do not repent. The sword of the Spirit represents the word of God. We know that from Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the word of God. This is truth that comes forth to expose a lie. This is light that comes forth to expose darkness. This is power that comes forth to heal. This is compassion that comes forth to mend the wounds of those who are wounded. Verse number 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Another promise from the Holy Spirit. An altar call, an invitation from the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ speaking as an altar call, inviting those to come to him. God speaking through the local sermon, the local song, the local track, the radio ministry, the missionary. God speaking through these vessels to draw them with love and kindness to get saved. And the third person of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit here, has an invitation that he who hears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Speaking to you and I, the Bible says, wherefore when the Holy Ghost speaketh, harden not your heart. The Holy Spirit is pricking and tugging and convicting and drawing and wooing us to God through his gentle tug. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Verse 17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him or he that receiveth it. This is an opportunity, an invitation to those that overcome. You have an heavenly promise. In the epistles here to the churches in chapters 2 and 3, we see multiple invitations to overcome and then a heavenly promise as a result. Here we see a white stone. This white stone is the victory stone. White and black stones were used in the judgment proceedings back then. The individuals that were guilty were given a black stone. Individuals that were given acquittal were given the white stone. And the Bible says that our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are individuals that were declared not guilty, even though we have committed sins and wrongs and iniquities to be condemned by God. Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross, bore our death penalty, if you will, died in our place on the cross, and in exchange has given us everlasting life because God can now declare us not guilty. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, Chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were nobodies who met somebody, who made us somebody in Christ Jesus. We were nobodies who met the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Jesus Christ washed us in his blood. And now God can look upon us and declare us not guilty. What a wonderful thing it is. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are not the same person we used to be. We have a brand new talk and a brand new walk. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are washed. Forgive yourself and forgive others and go forth with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.